solid rock. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday. 4:06 is what we're going to. Well, I'm going to start all over again. Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to everybody, Thomas Village Baptist Church, and welcome all those out in Facebook land and out there in the parking lot and listening on 88.1 FM if you're out there. And we're going to start our service off tonight, number 406, the Solid Rock.
Tonight we'll be in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, and just got a text from Sister Kathy Pearson that they have a new granddaughter. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. I was texting with her a little bit yesterday, and I said, "Don't you got a grandbaby coming?" And she said, "Anytime." I really didn't know she meant literally anytime now. As you're turning to Proverbs 12. Is this anybody's? All righty. I'm going to leave it up here. If I get thirsty, I might take a swig of it. No, it's good to see all of you tonight. I'm so thankful that you've made the effort to come out. And I pray that your week has been blessed, but I also pray that you'll be blessed by being here tonight. Praise God, we're living in a new age. It's not after COVID, but it's living with COVID now, learning how to. And again, you know that the mask mandate has been lifted in our state, but we recommend highly, if you have not been vaccinated or if you have in any way any concern, we want you to wear your mask. We want you to come and to be with us. I was meeting with our Sunday school teachers, our adult Sunday school teachers, tonight, and we're trying to figure out how to go about this thing. Lord willing, we'll be meeting with some more Sunday school teachers next week, but praise God, we're looking ahead to it. As you're turning to Proverbs chapter 12, I do want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things that you can ever imagine. I just wish, even though I don't understand it fully, if you're listening tonight, whether it be in here or whether it be Facebook, parking lot, I pray that the reality of Christ's love enter your life in a way that changes your life for all of eternity. I mean, it is mind-blowing, and we can't wrap our brains around it. I mean, it is so unfathomable, if that's how you say that word. So as you're turning to Proverbs chapter 12, it is good to see you. Do we have any words of testimony tonight, any words of praise? Praise God. We have the new baby, Pearson baby, but also, praise God, Sister Catherine's home, and we give God the glory for that as well. Any other, thank God we opened our eyes today as well. God had a purpose and a plan for us. Anyone else? Brother Ken.
He had a couple of days gone, and I, he had to go to Tennessee, did operation. He had to go
Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. He was out and about, probably. We give God praise for that. Thank you, brother. Anyone else tonight? Word of praise or testimony? Oh, my goodness. What's their names? Do you know? She did. Sister Yvonne? Amen. And I'm glad you brought that up, Sister Yvonne, how that God's been faithful to you. But it goes to another level in the educators and the system, the school system, because they do, when the children have lost their parents, I've seen Amy weep for the children who are broken because they lost their parents. And I've got to say this, to God be the glory. We have been a blessed church. We have. I do think that I did have part in one funeral that was COVID tied. It was not diagnosed as that, but I will go to my grave believing that it was a part of it. But God has been good to us. He has blessed us. And going ahead, I do believe that our best days are ahead. We may not look like we looked a year and a half ago in the way that we do things anymore. It might be different, but that's okay. That's okay. And the greatest thing that we have here at Thomas Village is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not many churches can say, not many people can say, I know that I've been in the presence of God. And we have to be so careful not to lose that. And that's been my and the deacon's biggest concern in all of this, that the spirit not be quenched, that we do everything we can to keep everybody safe, but that the spirit still be allowed to do what he does. And so to God be the glory, and pray for the future, not just of, and I told Amy, she come in most days saying, I don't know if I made the right decision, because this was her first year as the principal. And I said, there ain't no way you can judge it by this year right here. I mean, you got to at least go one more before you can do it. But we've got some awesome workers in the school system in our area, not just Lee County, Scott County, but I'm talking about all around, that love the students. And a lot of them, that's the reason they're there. It's not for a paycheck. It's not for anything else. It's because of the love. And I know others, Sister Tammy, you'd amen, and others in here, but praise God for that. Amen. And we're thankful for y'all. We're thankful for y'all. The Bible says if you want to have friends, you got to first be friendly, is what it tells us. Thank you, Brother Kent. Tonight we're going to have, we're going to be in chapter 12. I do have some of the study guides. I didn't make many, but if you want a study guide, raise your hand and one of our men will bring it to you. If you don't want it, promise you, you ain't going to offend me, okay? So just raise your hand and we'll get it to you, okay? What I'm going to do tonight is, because I want to get as much of this chapter as we can, I'm going to call out the prayer needs, and then if y'all need extra here, all you have to do is put this in and do both sides. But we'll close in prayer over these prayer needs, okay? There is, want to pray for Brother Roger Eden. Yes, ma'am. Okay, I thought it was a prayer need. I asked for that one, didn't I? All right, I want to pray for Brother Roger Eden, the Miller family, as our sister lifted up, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Joe Carter, Catherine Ward, Gary and Brandy CC, Larry Bledsoe, Margaret Rogers, Travis Lewis, Jesse Bull. She's out of quarantine, praise God. She's able to be around people, and you know that makes a big difference. Stanley Williams and wife, Sister Pam Savarsky, James Lane, Melanie Lester, Phyllis Williams, Edsel Keck, Bill Eads, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Sheila Percival, Heather Markham, Randy Flansler, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susan Drawdy, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger Evans, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and children, Jack Gladys and JT, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Mary Bunez, William Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family, Sister Priscilla, good to see her tonight. We still praying for your complete healing. Ethan Bowen, Paul Storier and son, Susie Hill, Dustin and Cynthia Pearson, and baby girl now, not just baby, Lord willing, and also a Pearson family. It's no relation to Kathy and them, but there's been a loss in that family. Carol Carter, Alicia Hill, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daryl Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Cope, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jen Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Tony Bard, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Jay and Ruby Keck, Faye Hill, Ruth Roden, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Robin Crawford, and Ricky Sheffield, both dealing with major illnesses, one cancer, the other fluid around the heart. And then also, I'm going to do my best to keep this before you. Brother Paul, the deacons, and myself, we are claiming 500 shoeboxes from Thomas Villas this year. And remember, one out of every four is the average to salvation. So that is 120-something souls. There's no better return on our investment than the shoebox greetings. Anyone else that we need to add tonight? Larry Bishop. Thank God. Thank God. Okay, you're going to have to help me out on that one. Fincham. Anyone else? Amen. I'm bachelor this week. Amy and her school friends are celebrating getting out of this year in one piece. And so I'm at the house by myself and just pray that I have the energy Saturday to make sure it looks good when she gets home. Because I sure ain't had it up to this point. But we will pray for them. And I'm enjoying this study. And I've decided that I'm going to go through the ones that we've already done, because a lot of them go all the way back to 2018. And if nothing else, I'm going to have in my repertoire a book of Proverbs that we can study through. So tonight we'll be in Proverbs chapter 12, 27 verses. Let's begin reading. Have we had a word of prayer? We ain't prayed, have we? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come to you right now thanking you for this day. God, I'm thankful that you're in control. And Lord, you have been good to me. Lord, and I just ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failure. I thank you for my church family. God, I thank you for the fellowship that we have in the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't understand the Trinity. We can't understand the vastness of your love. We don't, Heavenly Father, Lord, understand how you work sometimes. But God, we can trust your hand as we trust the way that you have sacrificed for us. So tonight, God, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom in your teaching. Be with those that couldn't be with us. And Lord, let your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. You know, we ought to always ask the Holy Spirit when we go into the Word, because that's what Jesus said was one of the works of the Holy Spirit, was to impart to us wisdom and to teach us about him. And that's what Scripture is all about, whether it be New or Old Testament. It's all about Jesus. And so we talk to the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding as we study. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but the one who hates instruction is stupid. One who is good obtains favor from the Lord, but he condemns a person who schemes. No one can be made secure by weakness, but the root of righteousness is immovable. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. The wife who causes shame is as rottenness to his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked is deceitful. The word of the wicked are as a deadly ambush, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and perish, but the house of the righteous will stand. A person is praised for their insight, while the wicked mind is despised. Better to be disregarded but have a servant than to act important but have no food. The righteous cares about their animal's health, but even the mercy of the wicked is cruelty. The one who works their land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense. The wicked desire what is evil, The wicked desire what evil people have caught, but the root of the righteous is productive. By rebellious speech, an evil person is trapped, but the righteous escape from trouble. A person will be satisfied by the words of their mouth. The work of their hands will reward them. A fool's way is right in their own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. Verse 16, a fool's displeasure is known at once, but whoever ignores insults is sensible. Whoever speaks the truth declares what is right, but a false witness speaks deceit. There is one who speaks rashly, like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is only a moment. Deceit in the heart of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No disaster overcomes the righteous, but the wicked are full of misery. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are his delight. A shrewd person conceals knowledge, but a foolish heart publicizes stupidity. The diligent hand will rule, but laziness will lead to forced labor. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but a good word will cheer it up. A righteous person is careful in dealing with their neighbor, but the way of the wicked will lead them astray. A lazy hunter does not roast what they kill, but to a diligent person their wealth is precious. There is life in the path of righteousness, and its path there is no death. Now we have a chapter that is basically made up of the definition of what we have for a proverb, a concise bullet style brief statements that pass some sort of wisdom or intelligence and advice, which is, like I said, the basic definition. Now, every verse that we have in this passage is basic bullet points, except for right smack dab in the middle. Proverbs 12, verses 12 through 22, that would be just one basic paragraph. Now, some of the people that I read behind, they put it into two paragraphs. But to me, and you'll see why when we get there, and God willing, we are going to get there, you'll see why I've put it all together. Matter of fact, if you look ahead, you'll see the underlined words, how it all ties together. So let's jump in to Proverbs chapter 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but the one who hates instruction is stupid. Now, somebody give me just a good old country boy, country girl thought on how this is implied in our life. Whoever loves discipline. What would you say discipline is? What would be another word for discipline? Correction. Also instruction. The Bible teaches us that's what the Word of God is given to us for. To rebuke, to encourage, and to instruct is the Word of God. Now, you see there it says, one who listens to life-giving rebukes. Nobody likes to be rebuked, especially in public. And remember, I talked about how the younger we are, sometimes the harder it is for us to receive instruction. But after you take a couple of licks in life, if you've got any insight in you, then you're going to be more open to somebody correcting you because you don't want to take any more licks. You've done had enough licks in your life. So notice what he says. And I like the key. What does the King James say? How does it put it? But the Christian Standard says, but the one who hates instruction is stupid. I like that interpretation because it's straight out there. Does anybody, what is another translation? Brutish. Now, the idea there is that he's like a bull in a china shop. You know, he just runs and busts things over without any intellect. Anyone else? Any other translation? All right. So, and I'm going to tell y'all this. I did not make a decision on what it was on any of these. So what would y'all say that this one is? General wisdom, leadership, or familial? Good one. That's what I'd go with myself. I broke my pencil. One who obtains favor from the Lord, one who is good obtains favor from the Lord. And again, look at there. You see the capital L, the capital O, capital R, capital D. Remember, you had to go through a lot before you wrote that word. had to take a bath, had to get a new pen, all that kind of stuff. You remember? That's Yahweh. This is their interpretation. They would not speak the name, remember? So the one who is good attains favor, but he condemned the ones who schemes. Now, what would be the? How would we define the word good here? Remember what we talked about when we looked over in the book of Genesis? And when the Lord created every day, he looked at it, and at the end of the day, he said what? He saw that it is good. Exactly. Does anybody remember how we define that? It's righteous. It's of high quality, meaning beautiful, but also it's of high quality, meaning morally as well. And so the idea here, again, it's not perfection. Nobody can be perfect, but the idea of good is in line with righteousness, or the idea of doing what is right in the eyes of God. And notice he says, but he contemns the one who schemes. What's another word for scheme? Devises evil. Plot. You know, the idea of a plot, you know, when you watch the shows like I watch, they come up with this plan and try to outsmart the police, you know, and try to get away with certain things. Judas, yes, see, he was about a scheme. That was the idea there. When you read the idea of a scheme, there's a difference from just making plans, but the idea is the end result. You see they're trying to figure out how to get away with something, how to do something that's not good, something that is not righteous. Which one would you say out of the three? General. No one. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the idea of being, there is none that is good, meaning the idea of morally perfect, genuine and all that. But the idea of walking in goodness or living a righteous life. Now, we know that none of us in here are righteous, right? None of us are right in the eyes of God. But when we read this, we do have to make some allowances, meaning that the idea here, just like when he says, be ye perfect as God is perfect. You know, there's a scripture. Now, we know that that's not literal. There's no way that we can be perfect. But the idea is to attain after it. You know what I mean? It's to seek after it. And that's the same idea here with goodness. None of us are going to always do what is morally right. None of us is going to do what is beautiful in the eyes of God all the time. But it's kind of like we talked about Sunday. When we look in the book of 1 John, if you remember, it says that it talks about none of those who sin are children of God. You remember that? None of us that sins. If you look over there, the idea is there. Now, who is it that does not sin? The idea here is the lifestyle. You know, that those that practice the lifestyle of sinfulness or of schemes that are against the things of God versus those who have stopped practicing the lifestyle of sin. That doesn't mean we don't sin, but overall we seek to live a lifestyle that is sinless. Not without sin, but in a righteous way. Exactly. The Lord looks on the heart, you know. And thank you, sister, for bringing that out. But, you know, the idea is what is the goal of our life, you know. And once we are right with the Lord, remember, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we are right with the Lord, then our goal is to please the Lord, not to keep our salvation, but to express our thanks for our salvation. And so thank you for asking that question, though, because it can, you know, there are those who believe you have to be morally perfect. I know a man that believes you can. I know a man, and he uses Elisha and Enoch as examples, meaning that they've got to a place of perfection. No, they didn't get to a place of perfection. God just chose to call them home, and they are the rarity and not the standard exactly. Any other thoughts on that? Thank you, Sister Tammy. No one can be made secure by wickedness. Let me ask you this. How many of you, if you went out and robbed the Get It store tonight, went home, how many of you think you'd get a good night's sleep?
A lot do.
But they might get the good night's sleep, but it won't surprise them when the police show up at the door. You understand what I'm saying there? And what the sad thing is that we are getting into a time where they may not be secure, meaning that something could happen at any time, but people don't care anymore. That's what's bad, and that's what we see, that dark cloud that's growing over our country right now. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And we see the spirit of Antichrist rising up in our nation, because Christ is about righteousness, or doing what is right, right? But in how many cities now do we see the rising up against law and order? We have a country now that is saying, defund the police and take the police away. The Bible teaches that we have been given civil authority by Him. So to reject it is to reject God. Stupid. Now, I'm not saying that everything that the police does is right. Believe you me, there's been some things in the past few months that were wrong and needed to be dealt with. But you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, you know the old saying there. You straighten it out. You do some, but you don't take away. This is getting off a little bit, but you got certain foundations of a society. The first one is man's relationship with God. The second one is a stable home environment. The third one is the knowledge of God creating. And then you have civil authority. All of those have already been rejected and thrown out. The idea of God, the stable home, evolution theory has overtaken creation, and then the natural course is now that civil authority is being rejected. The fundamental blocks of a human society, a stable human society, are being destroyed in front of our eyes. And we should be scared. Not scared, but we should be concerned for our society. Because basically we're the path we're on is leading to a path of chaos and destruction. Who is the author of confusion? Exactly. I mean, you look at what's going on, and you cannot help but believe there is a coordinated plan behind this thing. Amen. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's why it's so important for us not to slack now. Because the easy thing is that the majority of Thomas Village membership has been used to not being active in the body. We've got to fight that and come back stronger in Jesus' name. And I believe we are. I believe we will. All right, is that one? I think that was general wisdom, and I think it's clear, don't y'all? The root of the righteous is immovable. Hallelujah. The wife of noble character. Remember, nobility is elevated leadership. You know what I mean? Like king, queen, all that. So a noble character means that they're of high quality, their character, their lifestyle, who they are. They're basically, they're of a godly character. She is a crown to her husband, but the wife who causes shame is as rottenness to his bones. And you know what? You can take away the female and you can put the male in there and it's about the same thing. We all know who can bind a virtuous woman. Virtuous means of high quality. Notice it says she is far more precious than jewels. General, ruler, or family? I think so too. I'll give you a passing grade if you choose either one. All right. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked is deceitful. Now see, this is where this is why our country has been led, because instead of listening to the words of God, they have listened to the words of others. No longer is prayer in schools. No longer is the basis of education. You know, the schools like Harvard, Princeton, those were started with the idea of the Bible being accurate and truth. They were. The schoolhouse primers and stuff like that, the old school, they used scripture to teach, to read, and things like that. That's been gone now. And so, see, that's why I put Romans 12:1-2, that our minds have to be changed by the truth of God, and then you can grow in what is just or doing what is right, but guidance from the wicked is deceitful. Any examples of that right now going on? Where our country is falling for what is wrong because of leadership saying something that's ungodly? When our government, exactly, when our government is wasting time on trying to find genderless pronouns, stupid. I mean, there's no other word for it. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? But remember, we love the sinner. We got to learn, and that's what we've got to do. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard not to be angry at when certain faces pop on the TV. I want to say a name, but I ain't going to do it. Do you think this is general, ruler, or, leader, or family? General, yeah, I think leadership would go there as well. The words of the wicked are as a deadly ambush, but the speech of the righteous, or the speech of the upright, rescues them. I just think that's a beautiful comparison right there. I mean, the words of the wicked wound and hurt and cause damage, destroy, exactly. Ungodly parents have talked in ways to their children that's affected them for their whole life. Whereas other words encourage and lift up, and we're going to see some of that more in a minute. I think that would fall under general there. The wicked, verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and perish, but the house of the righteous will stand. I forgot to put through that because I was going to stop with Matthew 7:24-25, but I put on Matthew 26 as well, 7:26. And this is just Christ speaking about the two different foundations. The house is built upon the rock. The other is built on sand. And basically, that is what this proverb is about. Those that build their houses on righteousness or on right things have a firm setting underneath them. I mean, think about it. I heard today that the percentage of a child who is in the lower part of the economical part of America, their odds increase by like 10 to 15% of being able to themselves go to a greater income level just by having the parents stay together, having a home where a mama and a daddy are married. That's not about being a Christian. That's just about doing what is right in the eyes of God and the benefit that is passed on to the children. Do you think that's general, ruler, or family? I'd go with general there. I made it about family. but I think it could go anywhere. A person is praised for their insight while a wicked mind is despised. It could. Exactly. And the majority of these you can have the parallel spiritual aspect of them. Again, with number eight, though, I can't help but think about Saddam Hussein. You know, that a person is praised for their insight while a wicked mind is despised. You know, Saddam's mind had him using chemical weapons on his own people, and he was hated by his own people. I mean, the picture there is clear, you know. So which one would you say that this one is? Yes, I'm going a little bit fast because I want to get to at least 12 through 22. Better to be disregarded but have a servant than to act important and have no food. Now, this one throws a lot of people off. This is one of them. What does it mean? But basically, listen there at Romans 12:3. It says, "For by grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of themselves more highly than they should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one." Basically, he's saying this. Basically, it's better to be despised by others but be in a place of wealth or of importance than it is to put on airs and to make everybody think that you're something and then have no food at home. It'd be like living in a storage shed but driving a Mercedes Benz. I listened to Vance Havner today. He said that America's going to the poorhouse, but they're going to the poorhouse in a Cadillac because of going into debt and things like that. Folks, this is applicable for where we're at right now. I mean, people worry more about how they're seen. Why do you think people take 400 pictures of themselves and post it on Facebook every day? This selfishness, it's narcissistic. I mean, it is all about me. And they want to look good. Won't everybody think that but as long as I look good? They think they do, though. They think they look good. They think they look good. That's exactly it. That's it. How does it look from the outside? Inside filled with death. Thank you, Sister Yvonne. That's beautiful. Do you think this would be general, parental, or leadership? General. You might could have it in leadership, being as there was a servant there, but I think it would lead more to general. The righteous cares about their... This is one of my favorites. The righteous cares about their animals' health, but even the mercy of the wicked is cruelty. This is just basically saying, hey, animals are created by God, and those that are right with God are going to take wise care of their animals. Last deer I killed, I shot, and I broke his back. It's been years ago, and I got to it, and it was going, I've made the point now that if I can't put a down shot on them, I'm not taking the shot. I can run over a chipmunk, and it break my heart now. And them little summer guns come out of nowhere, man. I mean, you can't hit the brakes fast enough for a ground squirrel. I would say that this is general, wouldn't you? The one who works their land will have plenty of food. If you're faithful in tending to your crops, as long as there's not a famine, you put the seed in the ground, you tend to the seed in the ground, what's going to happen? You'll have fruit. But whoever chases fantasies lacks sense. How does the King James put that one? Tell me, Ken. Vanity. But the idea of vanity, it's used a lot in Ecclesiastes. It's like trying to catch the wind. You know what I mean? Those who try to catch the wind. We got a lot of people today who want to catch the wind of fame. You know what I mean? People go and stand in lines for hours and hours and hours to be on shows like not Dancing with Stars. What's the other one? America's Got Talent and The Voice and all those things. Miss Jobs, lay out of work, go do that. All right. Now here's where that I would put these together, and we'll wrap up with this one. If I had to title this section, and again, it's from verse 12 to 22, a lot break it up between verses 12 to 14 and then verses 15 through 22, but I put them all together. And it's, I would title it Wisdom or the Lack of It in Our Mouths. Wisdom or the lack of it in our mouth. Let's read it. The wicked desire what is evil, what evil people have caught, but the root of the righteous is productive. By rebellious speech, an evil person is trapped, but the righteous escape from trouble. A person will be satisfied by the words of their mouth. The work of the person's hands will reward them. I think on y'all's I put Proverbs 18 where it says, speak life, not death, blessings and not cursings. That's what it's meaning right there. We have the power. We are satisfied, or God blesses us partially to the way that we speak into our life. The work of the Lord's the work of a person's hands will reward them. A fool's way is right in their own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. A fool's displeasure is known at once, but whoever ignores insults is sensible. That's a good one right there, ain't it? It's hard, but it's needful very much. Verse 17, whoever speaks the truth declares what is right, but a false witness speaks deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but only a moment. Deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote joy have peace, or those who promote peace have joy. No disaster overcomes the righteous. Now, notice it doesn't say that we won't have disasters or tough situations in our life, but it says it will not overcome us. It does not have victory over us, right? Remember, we're not fighting for victory as Christians. We're fighting from victory in faith. Amen? That's what we have to remember. But the wicked are full of misery. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are His delights. Now, I think I underlined these to you, but look there. Verse 13, word speech. Verse 14, words of their mouth. Verse 15, now you can take and leave this one, but it listens, and listening is tied to somebody speaking something, right? The verse 16, insults. Verse 17, speaks and declares. Verse 18, speak and tongue. Verse 19, truthful lips, lying tongue. Verse 22, lying lips. In these 11 verses, there are at least 10 to 11 references to the issue of what comes out of our mouth. That is what he's dealing with here, the tongue. Here in Proverbs, also spends a great bit of time discussing on the tongue and how it can be a benefit. Notice it says that we are satisfied by the words of our mouth. The idea is that we speak blessings over our children. We speak blessings over our home. We speak blessings over our church. We speak blessings over our jobs. You say, Brian, what do you mean that? We are made in the image of God. And God spoke everything into existence. Does that mean that you just speak it and it'll be that way? No, but we speak in faith. We speak prosperity. We speak blessings and not cursings. I've told you about some of the people I went to school with and how they were picked on and how they were called names. And later in life, that reality that we had called them, that came to be the reality of who they were. Notice it says that about the tongue, speaking a tongue. I tell you this, many a marriage still suffers today because of words that were said 10 and 15 years ago. There are words that I've spoke to my wife that I wish I could take back because I know she'll never forget that I said it. In a moment of anger, a moment of resentment, and I can speak a whole lot more words And they're going to benefit it. But guess what? That word's always going to, that scar, that word, remember it says it's rash. It's like the piercing. And last week I informed you that the Bible has more than, I think I did. Did I tell y'all that there's more than 120 verses in the Bible that deal with the issue of our mouth and the tongue? Yeah, I put it on there, but I said I told you last week, and I couldn't remember if I did tell you last week. Daggummit, it's a rerun. But listen, this is from last week. A gossip goes around revealing secrets, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Remember, I told you I didn't like paraphrases, but this one, next one, the Proverbs 25:15, it comes out of the New Living Translation, which is a paraphrase. But I think the whole idea here is revealed how harmful our words can be. Telling lies about others is harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. The New Testament, James, who is probably the half-brother of Jesus Christ, because James the Apostle would have already been dead by the time that the epistle of James was written, he doesn't pull any punches when it comes to talking about our tongue. Listen what he says in James 3, verses 3 through 6. Now, we put bits in the mouth of horses. Who all knows what a bit is in a horse's mouth? Remember, it goes back, and if they're doing something wrong, you pull that thing and it causes them to hurt here. And there's a chain that goes underneath their chin as well, and all that. And notice what it says. So they will obey us. We direct their whole body. And consider the ship, though very large, driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Basically, it's just a flat board looking thing, and whichever way you turn the board or the rudder, it makes the ship turn to that direction. So also is our tongue. It is just a small part of our body, and yet it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze an entire forest. Think about this. Somebody smoking a cigarette can flick the cigarette out of their window, and that one little coal can cause thousands of acreage to be burned. That's what he says our tongue's like. One little word can cause great devastation. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world filled with unrighteousness, is placed among our physical members. It stains our whole body, and it sets fire from hell. Man. You know, the Bible says we'll answer for every word that's come out of our mouth. I could go on all day, but look what it says. It says, lying lips are detestable unto the Lord, but a faithful people. Now notice, faithful people is linked to people that do their best to control their mouth. Right? Because all this passage, like we said, there's 11 verses and at least 10 to 11 words or ideas deal with the mouth. And you remember what the word delight means? An object through which one finds enjoyment and satisfaction? When we are faithful to the Lord, we are His delight, meaning that He finds enjoyment and satisfaction in me. Is that not wonderful? That we can live a life every day to where our Lord delights in it. Like our sister said, that He sings over us. And when He sings over us, He is singing because He is satisfied with us and how we're serving Him. He finds enjoyment in the way that we're living our lives so that His glory may be revealed to others. That the Creator of all things can find delight in my brief life, and that it will bring enjoyment and satisfaction to Him. You know what? In Jesus' name right now, I pray that every one of us in here will live a life that brings enjoyment and satisfaction to our Creator. That should be our heart's desire, you know? That should be it. All right, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask Brother Ken, if he would, to come close us out in prayer, specifically praying over our prayer needs tonight. But is there any other prayer need or praise that we need to mention before we go to the Lord in prayer and close out? Yes, ma'am. Olivia Roberts. Yeah, I've done read it. Yeah, I've read it all. Rollins. I was talking to Ken.
Okay, let's bow our heads. Father God, it's wonderful being in your house again tonight to listen to your word, to study your word, and to glean from it. And hopefully we'll use it this week in our daily walk with you. I just want you to put your blessings upon these people that's on this list right here, all those who are sick and infirmed in the hospital. Want to remember the unsaved.
Yes, Jesus.
I want you to put somebody in their paths that so they can come to your saving grace and knowledge. Be with the leaders of our nation. We spoke earlier, there's a lot of devilness going on, and we just wish it'd be gone. And just be with us as we go about our day walk with everybody this week. It may be a shining light to those that really need to see you. And we just love you and thank you for everything that you do. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I love you.